every once in a while. But
all right, lectionary at lunch. We are sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Is that right? Old Testament is Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13, I believe, is our text. All right? It's one of the most, you'll see the emotional tone is pretty extraordinary here. It's kind of like a roller coaster that Jeremiah is on. And it's his sixth, what is normally called one of his six confessions. You know, he has those different sections. The text follows this incident in which you can see in 20 verse 1, if you're just following along, even if you kind of haven't seen the Hebrew, this guy by the name of Pashhur, you see that? Pashhur in verse 1, was a priest, an overseer of the house of the Lord, and Jeremiah, and this is important for our text, was prophesying, of course, against the city. And so this Pashhur had him arrested and put in stocks overnight. And when he let him out, Jeremiah didn't relent in his message. End of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4, when Pashhur started talking to Jeremiah after he let him out of the stocks, Jeremiah started by saying, Yahweh no longer calls your name Pashhur. Instead, it's going to be Magor Mishaviv, which means terror all around. So he didn't back up one bit. And you'll see how this comes into play in our text as well. So he renamed Pashhur Magor Mishaviv, terror all around, because he said that there's going to be, Babylon is going to obviously terrify the people. And he tells Pashhur that his family and his friends and all his loved ones are going to die in Babylon, basically. So it's not a good prophecy. And that is followed by our text. So see, what Jeremiah has had to do is preach this harsh message to people for which he was persecuted. See? If you're going amongst your own kinsmen telling them the city's going to be destroyed, the temple's going to be destroyed, we're going to be carried off into captivity, and violence is going to be done to us, it's usually not a very popular message. And that's where we pick up with this expression that Jeremiah has in our text, which begins with verse 7, as I said. Okay? So, verse 7. Pititani Yahweh va'epat. Enticed me, O Lord, and I was enticed. That's from the root pata, which means to deceive or to entice. And it's a PL. The first one is a PL perfect, second masculine singular. So you deceived me, O Lord, and I was deceived. That epat is from the same root pata. It's a niphal, and notice it would normally be epateth, but when you have it in a vav consecutive, remember you have that thing shortened, it shortens up, boom, and the hay drops off, so you get this weird form. So it's still a third hay root, just a niphal form in the vav consecutive. So you deceived me, O Lord, and I was deceived. Okay? Chazaktani vatukal. You were stronger than me, from chazak, or you had hold of me, vatukal, and you prevail. This is again from a call, imperfect vav consecutive, from the root yakal. Okay, and it forms its imperfect with a oo sound. And you'll see this is kind of a theme word throughout. Jeremiah feels helpless before God and before his word. So you deceived me, O Lord, or you enticed me, O Lord, and I was enticed. You were stronger than me, vatukal, and you prevail. Okay? The second line, Hayiti lischo kol hayom kulo loeg li. I have become a sechok, a laughing stock or a joke. I've become a joke. Notice haya plus lamed to become. So I've become a joke kol hayom, all day. All right, notice that's kind of accusative of extent of time, if you like those kinds of categories there. So I've become a joke all day long. Kulo, everyone, lo egli, everyone is mocking me. Now notice that form kulo, it might throw you a little. That's simply the word kol means all, with the third masculine singular suffix on the end. The more common suffix that you guys know has the vowel marker vav with it, kulo. That this is the same thing except the marker is a hey rather than a vav. And I checked this out because I was interested in it. And in Jeremiah, the form occurs, I don't know, probably between 15 and 20 times. And all but two or three of them have the hey. So it seems to be a characteristic of the book or characteristic of the manuscript that the third masculine singular with this word is marked with a hey. I don't know if that's true of any other words. I didn't check it. Also, in all but two places in Jeremiah, it's followed by a participle. So I would just translate, and in every case it means everyone. See, everyone. So everyone is mocking me. So I've become a joke all day. Everyone is mocking me. Okay? Verse 8, Ki medeat aber ez ak. For, this is from the sufficiency of I am speaking. The midday, let me just kind of break that down for you. That's the preposition min plus the substantive die, which means to be sufficient. Notice that this is in construct. And mid die really means as often as. It's a temporal kind of particle. For as often as I speak, adaber, see, or as often as I speak, as ah, I cry out, see, or for whenever I speak, I cry out. In other words, he, you know, to cry out, namely, cries out this negative message, see, okay? And now notice that he follows up a little more detail. Chamas vashodekra, violence and destruction, I cry, or I call. So the whole line, for as often as I speak, I cry out, violence and showed, violence and destruction I call. Okay? Ki hayedavar Yahweh li lecher pa ulekeles kol hayom. For the word of God has become to me, see, as a cherpa, as a reproach, and as a keles, and as, again, a synonym to reproach, and as a derision, or an object of derision. So, see, to me, so the word of the Lord has become to me an object of derision, a reproach, kol hayom, all day. Okay, so he's constantly being ridiculed for what he's preaching. All right, verse 9. Ve'amarti lo ezkerenu. So I said... Okay, notice that how I'm translating the vav plus the perfect here. So I said, or I thought, not as kerenu. I will not remember him. Alright? This is from the root zakar, a call, first common singular imperfect. And you could probably translate, depending on how you want to render that suffix, I thought I will not mention it anymore, namely the word, or him. Notice the next colon. Velo adaber, I will not speak again, bishmo, in his name. Alright? Verse 9, the second line. Vehaya belibi ke'esh bo'eret. I said I will not mention him and I will not speak again in his name. And in my heart it became, vehaya, and it became in my heart ke'esh, as a fire bo'eret. As a burning fire. This is a call participle from Ba'ar, feminine singular. It became in my heart as a flaming fire, a burning fire. Atzur. This is restrained, but that's not the right word for this. Restrained in my bones. Contained in my bones. Atzar means to restrain or to constrict. Restricted. So notice that this is a call passive participle. Written chaser, in other words, without the helping vowel. That's why you have the kibbutz there, atzur. So it became in my heart like a burning fire, constrained be'atzmotai, in my bones. So it's like he could feel it in his bones. It's really picturesque here. Okay? Ve'nileti kalkel velo ukal. And I became weary. This is from the root la'a. Lamed, Aleph, Hey, Nifal, perfect, first common singular. Alright? And the call means to be weary waiting for compassion or waiting for something. Here it becomes, in the Nipal it's usually used to become weary because you've been doing something for a long time. So I became weary of kalkal, of holding it in. This is one for your note cards. The root is cool. Kaf, vav, lamed, cool. And it means to contain or to hold in. And this is a pil-pel infinitive. So notice how the infinitive completes the thought of the verb. All right, so you can put this under your pillow and you'll remember it in the morning. But it's an infinitive construct. So notice in English we'd say something like, I was weary of holding it in. I was weary of containing it. He couldn't hold it in any longer. Velo ukal, and I was not able. See? Again, a call imperfect from Yaakal. Right. Again, verse 9. So I said, I will not mention it, or him, and I will not speak again in his name. But in my heart it was like a burning fire, constrained in my bones, and I became weary of holding it in, and I was not able. Right, so he had to speak. Really interesting insight that we get there. So the word of God just kept prevailing on him. Verse 10. Ki shamati dibat rabim magor misaviv. See, notice the magor misaviv. Hagidu venagidenu. For I heard a dibat rabim. Dibat is a bad report or a bad rumor. Notice that this is in construct with Rabim. So I heard the whisper, the rumor of many. Okay, so in other words, many were passing this rumor around. Magor misaviv, terror all around. And notice what they're doing is echoing his message. So if you were translating this, you'd put this in quotes. And that's why I brought it up earlier, see? So I heard the rumor of many saying, terror all around. Hagidu, report him. Yes, let's report him. So notice that they wanted to report him as being guilty of treason, of course, because he's speaking against the city and the country. All right. So this Hagidu is a hifil imperative from Nagad, followed by, again, the hifil, first common plural of Nagad. So report him. Yes, let's report him. For I heard the rumor of many, terror all around, report him, let's report him. Does that make sense? Alright. Now notice who's doing it. Kol enosh shelomi. Notice that shelomi is just the word shalom with the first common singular suffix. So enosh shelomi is men of my peace, namely my friends. All my friends, men of my peace. Shomrer, were guardians for Zal-e, my fall. Zela means fall or stumbling. We're watching, and you, probably in English, not guardians. We're watchers for my stumbling. So all my best friends were watching for my fall, waiting for me to fall. Okay? Then the last line of verse 10, Ulai yefateven nukla lo. Perhaps he will be deceived. This is a pu'al form from Kastaf. Perhaps he will be deceived. And we will prevail against him. Again, this is from Yaakal. Notice all the forms you're getting. We got a second person. We got a first person singular. Now we get a first person plural. Okay. So perhaps he will be deceived. In other words, he will be enticed. They'll be able to trap him into saying something. And we will prevail against him. Maybe we'll be able to arrest him. That nikcha nikmatenu mimenu. And we will be able to take our vengeance. That's nikmatenu is from nekama. Okay, and we will be able to take, again from laka, we'll be able to take our vengeance mimenu on him. Okay, verse 11. Vayahweh oti kegibor aritz. But Yahweh is with me as a warrior aritz, ruthless, as a ruthless warrior. Al Kane rode by Yikashlu Velo Yukalu. Therefore, my pursuers, again, a simple call participle used as a substantive. Therefore, my pursuers, Yikashlu, they will stumble. Here's from the root kashal. Notice it's a nifal form. Nifal imperfect. You also have a kal imperfect that means to stumble too. So I'm not sure what the difference between the two binyanim would be. But anyway, my pursuers will stumble. Notice that it's nifal, but you wouldn't translate with the passive. There's no agent here or anything like this. It's just simple intransitive. Therefore, my pursuers will stumble, velo yukalu, and they will not, there it is again, prevail. Third masculine singular, imperfect from yakal. I'm sorry, plural from yakal. They will not prevail. Okay? Bo shumeod ki lo hiskilu. Notice that this is from the root bosh, to be ashamed, and it is a kal imperative. I'm sorry, it is a kal perfect. Okay? But notice you would translate it as if it was a future, because he's referring to what's going to happen to them in the future. They will be ashamed, me'od, adverb. They will be totally disgraced for not hiskil, for they do not understand. Again, this is a hifil from sakal. They do not understand. Okay? Kelimat olam. A kelimat is disgrace or humiliation, and notice it's in construct with olam. So it's humiliation of the age, but we would say eternal humiliation, total humiliation, or probably eternal is better here. Lo tishakeach, which will not be forgotten. This is a nifal imperfect from shakach. All right. So they will become totally ashamed, for they do not understand. Now kind of this expression, eternal humiliation, which will not be forgotten. Notice the asher is not there, but again in prophecy and poetry, very often you do not have the relative pronoun. Verse 12, Vayawe Zevaot Bochein Zadik. And Yahweh, and the Lord of hosts, Bochein, tests the righteous, Zadik. Roe keyalot valev. He sees, again this is another participle, so notice it's parallel with bokein. So the Lord of hosts tests the righteous. He sees the keyalon, the insides, the kidneys, keliya, the kidneys and the heart. Okay? And again he's referring to his own faithfulness and the fact that he's adhering to the word. Okay? Era nik matika mehem, may I see or let me see your vengeance on them. Again from call imperfect. Let me see your vengeance on them. Ki eleka giliti et revi. For to you, notice where that preposition is. It fronts the verb, so you add a little emphasis in your speech. For to you I have opened up. See, this is from gala, a pl. All right, to reveal. I have revealed my complaint. The complaint's not right. I have revealed my cause. All right. Verse 13, Shiru Adonai, sing to the Lord, hallelujah et Yahweh, praise Yahweh. Again, both two imperatives. Sing to the Lord, praise Yahweh. Ki hitzil, for he has delivered nefesh evyon, for he has delivered the soul of the poor, miyad mereim, from the hand of those who do evil. That's again a simple participle from ra'a, means to be evil. And here you have the hifil form of it, and used as a substantive from the hand. And you know that occurs a number of times as substantive from the hand of evil doers. Right? So notice Jeremiah. I mean, it's kind of like he has this cause that he expresses to God. It gives an interesting picture of God as the deceiver. Deceiver's too, I don't think the best word. The enticer, the one who got him into this, and he was under the impression that his life and his ministry would go one way, and here it was going the other way. So what have you gotten me into, God? See? And yet he could not get out of it because God had, notice the word had a hold of him. It was like a burning. And so he had to speak. And notice then what he does in the midst of all this. He turns in faith to that same word at the end. You were with me as a mighty warrior, and so it's my pursuers who will stumble. If you're doing a sermon on this, then notice God sometimes takes you places where you don't think you need to go or should go. What do we do at those times? We trust His Word. You can read, I think, this text in parallel with chapter 1, which is the call of Jeremiah. And remember, in that call, he promises him all kinds of things. He also promises, says that he's going to have difficulties, but that he's also going to overcome them. So Jeremiah finally turns to that word. And so here in his prophetic ministry, you have kind of a parallel to the call of a pastor, to Christian life in general. What do we do when God seems to act in ways that seem contrary to what He should do? We finally go to the Word that He's put inside of us and that He has put before us and trust in that. So I think that the text offers a good opportunity for some of those themes about how what we think should happen in our lives and ministry may not be the way things are going to go. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean that God will not prevail, as is another theme word here. Okay? I'm going to stop here.